Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services here at Kerwin Baptist Church, located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Something happened interesting in Psalm 30, and when Psalm 30 was written, here's what had happened. David, a man after God's own heart, the Bible says, but we all know the faults and failures that he had because he was human. We all have our faults and we all have our failures and we all mess up sometimes. By the way, we mess up even after we get saved. Anybody here hadn't messed up since you got saved? I'd like to meet you. And I want to look at you face to face and say you're a liar. But anyway, even after we've been saved, we mess up. But here's what David, this one instance in particular, David upset God. And here's what happened. David decided to number the people. Now, why would a king number his people? Well, obviously, why they do that is so that they can figure how big of an army they would have, how much of a force militarily they would have. And God did not want David to depend on the numbers. God wanted David to depend on him. And God wanted to win the battles, not for David to pick battles according to how he thought he had the numbers in his favor. God did not want David to number the people, but David, as king, decided he was going to number the people. And God got very upset at that. And so God gave David three options for his punishment. Don't you love it? Any of you, when you were kids, your mom and dad ever give you options for punishment? Any of you ever do that? That was back in the days when kids actually were punished. But, I remember sometimes it's like you can have mom spank you, or you can have dad spank you, or such and such. Now, usually those were my only two options. It was, you're going to get spanked. And then normally I didn't even have that choice. And of course, you didn't know. Like I've always told you, my dad, he spanked hard but fast, and he aimed good, hit the same spot. It was over. I cried, but, it was over. My mom was very emotional when she spanked. And I might get hit in the back. I might get hit in the legs. And she just got emotional, and there was a lot of passion in it, and you just never knew. And, I think my dad would get it done before compassion could even step in. And it just took my mom a while, and she was godly, so she'd pray, and it just made the whole thing worse. Don't you hate it when mom and dad pray before you get a spanking? That's like the one time you're like, keep praying, mom, keep praying. Pray through the night, mom, pray through the night. But God gave David three choices here. And these were the three choices. He said, David, I can give you 7 years of famine. That's one choice. Second, I will give you 3 months where you will be defeated by any army you face. Well, how much would you have left after 3 months of being defeated? How many people would you lose? If God gave 7 years of famine, how many people would die? And how many of your own family might die? God gave him choice number three. He said, David, I'll give you 3 days of pestilence and sickness. Out of those three choices, David, because of his sin, because he's the one that decided he was going to do what he wanted to do and he was going to number the people and he had upset God. And so David decided the last choice, that I'll take 3 days of pestilence and sickness. When David chose that, 70,000 people in his kingdom died in those 3 days. Often we talk about the fact when Solomon built the temple that God told David that you can gather the materials and you can help with things, but God would not let David build the temple because he said, you're a man of war and you have blood on your hands. Can you imagine if David had a conscience, and we believe that he did, can you imagine the guilt that had to ride on his shoulders for years because the blood of 70,000 people was on his hands because of sin. Now, I don't know about you. Forgiveness is one thing, but I don't know how I could forgive myself. My wife and I have family, and we have known people over the years that for some instance and some what you would call freak circumstance, an accident, whatever, that because of the fault of a parent, their child died or was killed. Now, we know that no parent, especially a good Christian parent, people that love their children, they would do anything. They would give their lives to save their children. And because of accidents, those things have happened. And what we have found with talking with many of them is forgiving themselves is so hard. So here David in Psalm 30, he talks about building this altar. And in Psalm 30, and we're in Psalm 32, I'm just explaining to you for sake of time, that after these 70,000 people died, that David built an altar on what we call the threshing floor of a man named Araunah. And as David built that altar, he purchased that threshing floor, and he said, "Can I use this?" And the man said, "Yes, you can." David was king, obviously, and David built an altar, and he begged forgiveness from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the end of Psalm 30, and then in Psalm 31 and in Psalm 32, these are what we call penitent psalms. It was David basically mentioning the things that he had done and how he had asked God for forgiveness, and how David was penitent for what he had done. He was sorry for what he had done, and he had gone to God for forgiveness. And in Psalm 32, we find David. The entire psalm speaks about the forgiveness that God has given and the forgiveness that God has made available. And I want us to look at that today. Maybe you're fine and doing good and everything's great in your emotional world right now. But there are some of us that fight battles sometimes. And some of the battles are we feel like we're not good enough or haven't done enough to earn or receive the forgiveness of God. And even if we get to that point, we feel and struggle with the fact that we can't forgive ourselves. Look, if you would, at verse 1 of Psalm chapter 32. If you have a Bible that has a little bit of a heading under this in Psalm 32, it'll say a Psalm of David, Mashiel, and that will be instruction. And David says this, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For night and day thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah." Stop and think about this. David is saying in verse 3 and 4, when I did not have that forgiveness, when I allowed it to stay on me and bear me down, David said, when I kept my silence, in other words, I didn't feel like I deserved the forgiveness, and I had pain inside because of my sin and what I had done. He said, literally, I waxed old through my roaring all the day long. It was wearing me out. Verse 4, "Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me." Look at verse 5, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said," notice what David's saying here, "I said to myself, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." All God's people ought to say a hearty David said, "I came to myself and I said, I'm going to confess my transgression before God." And no sooner as he confessed it, God forgave him. Look at verse 6. "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way in which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord," David said. Any of you here in the building this morning have trouble sometimes being glad in the Lord? We have every reason in the world to, don't we? But I struggle, do you? Sometimes we just struggle being glad, period. Let alone being glad in the Lord. And rejoice, ye righteous. Anybody here in the building have trouble rejoicing sometimes? And shout for joy. Anybody in the building have a hard time shouting for joy? All ye that are upright in heart. We're going to dig into this briefly this morning. Thank you for being faithful to God's house. Forgiveness. Lord, I love you. I pray that you would bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verses 1 and 2, I want you to see as we kind of outline these passages so it's easier for all of us to understand and you as we're trying to teach the things that God has laid on our heart. Number 1, I want you to notice David gives the description of forgiveness. This is how David describes it. Now remember, in chapter 30, he begins, he had messed up and he acknowledges that he had and he begins to get forgiveness for God and he's sorry and penitent for what he had done. And in chapter 32, David describes the victory, the process he went through where he finally got that burden off of his shoulders. Look at verse 1. A psalm of David. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now that word blessed in the Hebrew literally means this. This particular word for blessed means, oh, how happy. David describes this is what the forgiveness of God is. Oh, how happy we should be that God's forgiven us. Well, look what he says. He says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now, you know what this word transgression means in the Hebrew here? It means revolt or rebellion. May I say this, that it is certainly possible, and not just possible, probable, and normally is the case that when a person is rebellious, that oftentimes that rebellion can be there and they don't have necessarily a rebellious action. Let me put it this way. Do you know a teenager can rebel and yet do right? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Do you know we adults can do that too? Yes, so David here is saying, my rebellion, God has forgiven that. Then, notice secondly, he said, whose sin is covered. Sin is the action of rebellion. Sin is us rebelling against God. David said, my transgression, my rebellion, my attitude, my spirit, the things that made me sin, my heart wasn't right, my mind wasn't right, any of those things, that transgression has been forgiven and my sin has been covered. Now, I've got to give you this. Don't think I'm just trying to give you technical facts, but this word covered, it literally, the Hebrew word here means concealed or hidden. Now, may I say that it doesn't mean that we sin, God's just going to wipe it under the rug, and we're not going to have to answer for that. It doesn't mean that. It means that when you sin, and you and I are repentant about it, God forgives us of that rebellious spirit, and all those sins, those actions that we've committed, God covers it. It never comes up again. It is concealed. It is hidden. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says in the depths of the sea, as we sing, of God's forgetfulness. God said, I'll put your sin in the parts of the sea that you can't get to. Say, wow, what does that mean? Look at verse 2. David uses this word again. Blessed. Oh, how happy is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That word impute means to make account of, to keep record of. Iniquity here means fault, or it means to punish. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Look at me. I want you to get this. David, if I can put all these pieces together in verse 1 and 2, this is the description that David gives about the forgiveness of God. Oh, how happy we should be. God has forgiven my rebellious spirit. My sins will be concealed and hidden forever. God has cleared my record of any wrongdoing, and I will face no punishment for it. I would think about 500 people would be a little bit more excited about forgiveness. Oh, how happy we should be. It's off our record. It'll never be brought up by God. It will by your wife, but not by God. Number two, let me get off that quickly. The description of forgiveness. Notice secondly, the deception of forgiveness. David here begins to describe, if you'll notice in verse 2. David says, blessed is the man under the whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And he's talking about the man that God's forgiven. But notice what he says here. And in whose spirit there is no guile. That word guile means deceit. And David is talking about the individual. We know there's no guile or deceit in God. But what David is saying in verse 2, he is saying, blessed is the man that God's forgiven, but blessed is also the man that does not try to deceive God. In other words, there's this thing that goes on with you and I sometimes that we try to hide our sin from God. We try to act in a way as if we're good and perfect, and somehow we're going to do that enough that we're going to fool people, and somehow we're going to fool God. David said, you keep trying to fool God and you keep trying to fool yourself into believing that you're going to hide some things from God and that you can go ahead and make it in this Christian life without getting forgiveness from God. David says, you're deceiving yourselves. May I tell you, I believe our churches are full of people that have unconfessed sin in their life. And I think deep down they feel rotten and they don't like it and they wish they had never done it. But I think somehow they think if I just keep doing right, this guilt will go away. If I just keep doing more good things, that maybe I'll be okay. And dear friend, I'm here to tell you, you're deceiving yourself. That sin, that lack of forgiveness will bear down on your shoulders. Notice thirdly, he gives the discouragement without forgiveness. David describes himself in verse 2, this deceit. I'm going to number the people, and I know it's not right, but somehow because I'm king, I'm going to get away with it. There was guile in his spirit. There was deceit there. We know David had that deceit. We know how he had the sin he committed with Bathsheba, had her husband, murdered and all, because David had deceit there. Notice, if you would, in verse 3, David describes this time in his life. He said, when I kept silence, when I tried to hide it, when I tried to just put up with that stuff and knowing I was doing wrong and knowing I was displeasing God, but just going on being king and going on with day-to-day life. David said, when I kept silent, this is what happened to me. Look at my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. David said it began to affect me physically. I was aging prematurely from sin. Now, I know I've said it before, but have you ever been around people that just, they chose their lifestyle? They chose the route they wanted to go. And I have seen people that maybe 5-6 years gone by and you see them somewhere, and you get back in the car, you think they look like they have aged 20 years. David said, when I kept silent, but when I just didn't go to God and lay it all out and admit it, I was wrong, and God, I need your forgiveness. David said, when I kept silent, I just kept it in. I literally waxed old through my roaring all day long. Notice here, if you will, look at verse 4. David said, day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Dear friend, you might try to hide it from God, and you might be able to hide it from people, and you might be able to continue so-called being king while your heart isn't right. But can I tell you, you cannot outfool God, and his hand will be heavy on you every night. You can try to lay down in peace and sleep, but God says that only happens to people that have forgiveness. David said, your hand was heavy on me. Notice in verse 4 what he says. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. That means that the moisture would be my sweat, my energy to be able to work. It's turned dry. I don't have any strength. I don't feel like going and doing anything. He said, literally, I was getting older. It was affecting my body. I had no strength. And it was all because of this lack of forgiveness. Notice, if you would, number 4, we find in verse 5, David describes next his decision to ask forgiveness. David describes first, hey, let me tell you how great forgiveness is. Now, let me tell you my mistake. I had fooled myself into thinking that I could exist without it and function without it. And not only that, not only had I done that, but man, I'm going to tell you something. It was so heavy on me and it was beating me up and I was getting old. It was affecting me physically. We find here in verse 5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. Can I tell you something? You can't hide it from God. I can't hide it from God. You're saved by the grace of God, may I say, when we allow sin into our life and we don't get forgiveness of that and we don't acknowledge that to God, you don't hide it from God. We can hide it from wife, we can hide it from husband, we can hide it from church members. I've known pastors that hid it from churches for a while, but you can't hide it from God. David said, my iniquity have I not hid. And look at this, what he says. It's like this self-moment happens to him. He said, I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Now, I love this. Do you know what the word confess? It's the Hebrew word yada. It's spelled Y-A-D-A-W. Now, when David said, I will confess my transgression, you know what that word yada means? It means to physically throw, to toss away, to cast. David said, I said to myself, I am going to take this sin, this iniquity, and I'm going to throw it on God. I'm getting rid of it. Well, let me tell you something. There's nothing freer than a Christian that finally gets honest with God, gives it to God, casts it, throws it out of desperation. I can't take this anymore, God. You've got to take it. Do you know that's why he died on the cross? I love this too, that word forgavest. Now you science people and different things, you're going to enjoy this. At least maybe not, I did. David said, when I finally made the decision, I'm going to throw this on God. Notice what he says, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. This Hebrew word forgavest, it means to lift. And guess what the Hebrew word is? Nasa. N-A-S-A. So I did a little research. Do you know that our Air and Space Administration was named NASA? They just came up with fitting words to fit with the N-A-S-A because in Hebrew it means to lift. So every time you see a rocket going to space or whatever, that's back when we still did that. Can I tell you something? That ought to remind you and me that the moment you come and confess your sin to God, he lifts it. He takes it. Immediately. Wow. I'm glad I got excited about this yesterday. Number 5. I want you to see the desperation for forgiveness. We're almost done. Verse 6, David said, for this, for what? For that burden rolling off me, for getting that sin off of me, for getting that forgiveness from God, that feeling of knowing I've told God everything, and yet he still loves me, and I showed him all my sin, and yet he still forgave me and took it. He lifted it off of me. David said, for that, notice, shall everyone that is godly. Now, how can a sinner be godly? We're talking about saved people here. So even saved people, need to pray unto God and get forgiveness. Notice what he says, when thou mayest be found. Now, I love this. Look at the next phrase. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. What is he talking about here? Do you know David here is making a reference to Noah? Do you know the Bible says Noah preached, and he preached repentance, and he preached that God was bringing a flood, and of course nobody listened to him and nobody heeded the call and all that. And the Bible says when Noah got on that ark, that that ark door closed, and that was a sign that now there would be no more forgiveness, there would be no more individuals able to get on that ark. And as it began to rain and as the floods began to rise, the Bible says that folks began to try to get into that ark, and as the waters got higher, they kept trying to get into that ark. But look at me. The ark was made to float because the higher the waters got, the boat stayed above it. Notice what he says. He said, surely the great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Even the waters getting higher, you still can't get closer to God. Now's your chance. Get forgiveness while you can. Get a clear conscience while you can. Notice, if you would, the deliverance of daily forgiveness. And this is where we close. In verse 7 all the way through verse 11, David here describes the daily walk that happens when you and I daily keep a short account of sin, get forgiveness, keep things right. Notice in verse 7 what he says, thou art my hiding place. That means God protects. Then he says, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. That word preserve means to guard, observe, or watch. So that means God protects and he preserves. Notice thirdly, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. He provides. That word compass means to surround. That means God says that I will deliver you wherever you go, whatever's around you, whatever you face, I'll deliver you. I'll help you. You just come to me, tell me, throw it to me. I'll lift it up and take it. Notice if you would, and I love this, look at verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. God doesn't just protect and preserve and provide, he plans. He guides us. He tells us what we should do, where we should go. Look at me, I want you to get this, please. This is why it's so important for us to stay close to God, to get forgiveness of sin, to just lay it out, be honest. God, I'm struggling with this. I'm having a hard time with this. You know why? Because sin separates us from God. I can give you verse after verse. I don't have time this morning. You know why it's so important for us to keep our sin forgiven? So that we can stay close to God who protects us and preserves us and provides for us. And as he guides us, we hear what he has to say. You and I, we desperately every day need to stay close to God. And the only way to do that is to just lay all that sin on him and accept his forgiveness. Look at verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord. What do you mean trusteth in the Lord? That means, God, you said you'd forgive me. And God, I'm repenting, and I'm just going to give this to you. If you'll trust in the Lord, mercy shall come pass him about. Surround. I don't know about you, we need mercy. Every day I need mercy. Person pulls out in front of me, I need a gun. I need mercy. I don't know about you, I blow it everywhere I turn. If I go this direction long enough, I'm going to do something wrong before long. If I go that direction, man, I'm going to sin, and I know it. And if I go that, well, can I tell you something? I need God's mercy to surround me. If it's there, and if it's available, why don't we take it?
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from our broadcast. The Kirtland Baptist Church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kirtlandbaptistchurch.com. Enjoy our services live and all our media on our website and church app. Thank you for listening to the Kirtland broadcast today. God bless you.